Okay, as I mentioned, I'd like to continue our discussion on the subject of the millennial environment. In the last few Sabbath notes, I included an attachment with a list of items. You may have that with you. It would be helpful probably to have that. If you need a copy, hold up your hand. We have a few extras, and Jeff can give those out if you need a copy. So anybody need a copy of that list of millennial environment subjects? Nobody needs a copy? Okay. Well, then maybe Jeff gave them out already. Oh, okay. Very good. I thought I would maybe prime the pump a little bit by sharing with you a few things I've been thinking about since the feast, particularly my favorite sermon that I heard in Redmond, as well as a favorite scripture that I have as far as a millennial scripture. And for me, that millennial scripture is Isaiah 11 and verse 9. Again, you may have one as well, but Isaiah 11 verse 9 is well known, but there's so much in our world today that is so different from this, where Isaiah 11 verse 9 says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Something I pray for daily, the time when knowledge of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, and people repent for denying God's existence, and they repent for denying God as their creator, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of God's holy mountain. There's so much of hurting and destroying that goes on today in war and crime and violence, that when that time comes, there's no fear of hurting or destroying. So I think about that scripture a lot, especially when I see some of the terrible things going on in our world today, some of the wars and violence that continues to abound. I think of that scripture in particular. And also, as far as a favorite feast sermon, this was given on the weekly Sabbath in Redmond by Mr. John Pinelli, the feast coordinator, and soon to be moving to New Zealand, the pastor there. But he gave a sermon titled "The Lessons of Sabbath Healing." And on the website, some feast sites now have sermons posted from this year's feast. Not all of the feast sites have their sermons posted, and I don't think Redmond is one of them, but a number of the feast sites do. So if you want to hear feast sermons from around the country, a number of feast sites do have those sermons up, and you can just go to Kagwa.tv and find those, or actually to the feast website and find them on the feast website. But Mr. Pinelli's sermon was on the lessons of Sabbath healing, and he pointed out that healing was a main part of Christ's ministry, and seven of those healings were done on the Sabbath. And what he did in the sermon was to look at three of those. He picked out three of those healings and was showing the parallel between the Sabbath healings. Of course, the Sabbath is a picture of the millennium, and healings on the Sabbath would be a picture of healing during the millennium. And he quoted Luke chapter 4, where Christ talked about the healing that he would accomplish during the millennium. And then he concluded with the scriptures in Ezekiel 47. I won't turn there, but Ezekiel 47 is where the millennial temple exists, and the waters healing pour out from under that temple and start out as a trickle, and then a stream, and then a river, and promote healing all over the earth, waters of healing. So it really was a well-done sermon and a fantastic look into the millennium, I thought, as far as Sabbath healings being a type of the healings that are going to take place during the millennium. So that was my favorite scripture and my favorite sermon during the feast. But I'll open it up now for discussion either on this, that you have the millennial environment, some of the changes that may take place, maybe scriptures that you found, or your favorite sermon or millennial scripture, or your favorite sermon from the feast. I think Jeff is handing out a few of those extra copies now. So comments from any of you? your turn. So, otherwise, Bible study will be very short. You others, we have a few more sheets of anybody who needs those. Okay, did I see a hand over? Yes. Oh, yes. Walk worthy, God has chosen you by Mr. Gore. I didn't call us to save, just to save us. We have work to do while we're here. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about God didn't call us just to save us, but to use us. To use us for his purpose, doing his work. And that was from Orange Beach. Okay. Very good. Other favorite? Yes, right? When he's put away for 1,000 years. Right. Utter darkness forever. No longer able to do. Right? And then there can be one with God. The whole human family at that time would be the spirit-born family and total unity with God. Others, comments either about the millennial environment or scriptures or sermons. Yes, John? Today. Sure. Shakespearean theme to it, Act 5, 5 acts. Good. Other comments? Yes, Aiden? Ezekiel chapter 47, healing waters. Yes, and you know, that is one that when you look at the list of on the millennial environment, and you know, the things that affects. Let's just read a little bit of what that does, Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm sorry, Ezekiel chapter 47. And the healing that takes place through that. Some of the description is just quite amazing. Ezekiel chapter 47. This flowing... Verse 1, he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under that threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And then he begins measuring this water flowing out. Verse 3, when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters that was up to my ankles. Verse 4, came up to my waist. Verse 5, a river that could not be crossed. And he goes on to describe what this does. Verse 8, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Verse 9, it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. Very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And then it describes even to the Great Sea and the Mediterranean, swamps and marshes, yield, verse 11. Verse 12, along the bank of the river on this side, and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. It goes on to describe, again, this amazing healing that takes place. You can just see that, you know, God has the power to reverse the course of nature, to heal the land, to flatten mountains, to heal deserts, and to make land very habitable, though it certainly can support human life. But how this would affect the land, the agriculture, the climate, all affected by all of this fishing in the Dead Sea. Any of you have been to Israel, you know that's impossible now. It's a chemical-filled body of water that has no life in it at all, but that's all going to be healed. So an Eden-like condition God is able to restore and will do that. So Ezekiel 47 would address several issues on the index to the millennial environment, and you can probably go down the list and point out some of those. Other comments or ideas, thoughts about millennial environment, sermons, or scriptures? Bonnie? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. But we persevere and endure for the return of Christ. However long that is, the end of this age or the end of our lives, to persevere and endure, Christ can complete that work. And certainly the return of Christ and the beginning of the millennium tells us when that's going to happen, when he returns at the seventh trumpet. So we look forward to that time, and that's why we persevere and endure and continue. Right? Yeah. Yes, the end is clear in the Bible what the end of God's plan is. Other comments or scriptures? Jennifer? Yes, the Christ returning, the increase of his government. And Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 there addresses the first item on the index of the millennial environment. The administration will change. Instead of man's government, it's going to be God's government. It's going to be very different. So that one addresses that one. Other, yes, Bonnie? Oh, Wes Caron, sure. He's the pastor down where, down in the panhandle areas of Florida, where the Barokers are. He's their pastor when they're there in Florida. Wes Caron. Very good. We had a split sermon at the Feast of Reverend that I also thought was quite interesting. Mr. Lambert titled it Spies for the Kingdom. And he likened those spies who were sent out to spy the Promised Land and what their responsibilities were, what they did, and what God expected of them. Of course, not all of them fulfilled what God expected, but that how that God's people today, in a sense, are spies for the kingdom to come. We represent God's kingdom at this time by how we live and how we are. And so, in a sense, we are spies for the kingdom at this time. So it also was very well done, very excellent split sermon. Somebody also heard that sermon after, sermon, split sermon? Other comments? Anybody do any research on this to come up with a few additional scriptures? Well, let me go through and give a few for each one. And then I have a handout at the end of the Bible study that will give you many more. But we'll just look at a few here. We've already looked at the administration, how it's going to be God's government decided by Christ at his return. What about agriculture and how that's going to be affected? I've got a couple of scriptures down here. Isaiah 11. We'll look at a number of scriptures in Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. all prophecies, but let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. And Isaiah chapter 11, that doesn't address the agriculture, but let's go to, Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 24. Jeremiah 31, verse 24 has an interesting comment where it says, there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all its cities together farmers and those going out with flocks. In other words, today it seems like farming is a dying occupation more and more. But how that in Judah and in all its cities together, farmers and those going out with flocks will prosper and will be blessed at that time. Ezekiel 34, looking a little bit more as far as agriculture and cattle and crops. Ezekiel 34 and verse 17. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. This is more of a spiritual base, but it's interesting that God uses that typology. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet, the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters? You must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. It's both physical and spiritual. God is the good shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd and will shepherd people spiritually, but he says in verse 23, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. I will be their God. He goes on to describe spiritual healing in terms of agricultural terms. Ezekiel 45, verse 15 and 16. Ezekiel 45, verse 15 and 16. And one lamb shall be given from a flock of 200 from the rich pastures of Israel. These shall be for grain offerings, burnt offerings, and peace offerings, to make atonement for them, says the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give this offering for the prince in Israel. So again, there shall be flocks and pastures that will enable people to give offerings, and there will be a great deal of... It's interesting how many scriptures have to do with agriculture. Let me just list a few more, and we'll turn to some of these. Isaiah 30, verse 24. Isaiah 30, verse 23. Under cultivation, Ezekiel 36, verse 9. Figs and vines. You find that mentioned in Micah 4, every man sitting under his vine and fig tree. But also Joel 2, verse 22 and 24. Olives, abundance of olives, Joel 2, verse 24. Pastures that are healthy, again, Joel 2 and verse 22. Rich soil, Ezekiel 36, verse 11 and verse 35. Very different from what we have today, soil that is healthy and rich. And then there are a number of scriptures, I'll just list a few of them, to talk about trees and how the trees will cover the land. Isaiah 41, verse 19. Isaiah 35, verses 1, 2, and 3. And Isaiah 55, verse 13. Now, when you go down that list and you see the where it says animals will be tame, what scriptures come to mind there? Yeah, what's that? Isaiah 11. What in particular comes to mind? Sure. Jeff, is that the one where you were going? Isaiah 11, verse 6. And that's pretty clear. Isaiah 11, verse 8. Your child can put their hand in a snakes whole and not be in danger. How about business? There's so much business today that is filled with greed, selfishness, not generosity and giving. But are there any scriptures anybody found related to business practices in the millennium, or any that come to mind as far as business practices in the future? God has a lot to say in the book of Proverbs about weights and measures, about honest weights and measures, that's what's pleasing to him. But let's look at Ezekiel 45 and verse 10. Again, this is a millennial scripture, Ezekiel 45, verse 10, 11, and 12, where it says, "You shall have honest scales, an honest ephah, and an honest bath," all elements of measure. "The ephah and the bath shall be of the same measure, so that the bath contains one-tenth of a homer, and the ephah one-tenth of a homer. Their measure shall be according to the homer. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 25 shekels, and 15 shekels shall be your mina." So honest weights and measures, honest scales, will be part of the business practice in the world tomorrow. I once worked for a produce company that had some practices that were not really the most honest. I avoided following instructions, even though I wasn't in the church at that time, but simple things like when we would have a pallet full of quarts of strawberries or blueberries, our instructions were to skim a little bit off each quart and make a 13th quart out of every 12, and do that for entire pallets. And other, you know, when we were delivering 100-pound bags of potatoes, if there was rotten potatoes and they would show through the bag, we were to hold the rotten against us so that the merchants, as we were delivering their potatoes, couldn't see that there were bad potatoes in that bag. And once it was delivered, well, too late. So by the end of the day, though, doing that, you smelled like rotten potatoes, but it was just little things like that, that to cheat, and commonly done in business even today. City life of farmers. I have a scripture listed, Isaiah 61 and verse 5. Isaiah 61 and verse 5, which gives us some indication. Isaiah 61, verse 5, where it says, "Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of your foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers." In other words, farming, and they will rebuild, verse 4, "the old ruins. You shall raise up the former desolations, repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations." And it goes on to talk about flocks being fed, plowmen, your vine dressers. What else do you know about farming in the world tomorrow? Any other scriptures come to mind? What it will be like? What to expect? Anything about the plowman doing what? Overtaking the reaper because of such abundance, crops. And so that addresses farming as well as abundance of food under diet and abundant, the reaper, the plowman overtaking the reaper. What about Zechariah 8? Let's turn there. You see under city life a comment about Jerusalem. Let us what it says in Zechariah chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1, because this isn't the condition today, again the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, with great fervor. I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." So city life in Jerusalem, founded on truth. And that will go out and extend to all cities on the earth. And all cities of the earth will become cities of truth. they will all become cities of truth. We know the deserts are going to be healed. Isaiah 35, verse 1 tells us that the deserts will be healed. Under climate, weather agreeable, deserts healed. The land, Isaiah 49, verse 8. But let's see what Isaiah 40 says about mountains. Isaiah 40 and verse 4, because this also addresses change. Isaiah 40 and verse 4, where it says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. I don't believe that means that there will no longer be any mountains. I think God is going to smooth out some mountains on the earth, again, to make it habitable land and arable land and easier to traverse. But I think there will still be mountains in existence, but some probably lowered. Rain and water is addressed in Isaiah 30, verse 23, and in Isaiah 41, verse 17 and 18. If you want to look those up a little bit later. We've already addressed some of those issues as far as diet and food being abundant. The plowman overtakes the reaper. That's in Amos 9 and verse 13. Amos chapter 9 and verse 13. We looked at fishing in the Dead Sea there in Ezekiel chapter 47. But Joel 2, you know, these exist even today. Joel chapter 2. Let's turn there. And verse 24, 25, and 26. No more locust plagues, but an abundance. Joel 2, verse 24. Again, these are all millennial settings. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat. Vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. These are all life cycles of the locust. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be put to shame. And there is a millennial application to those scriptures showing that there will be an abundance of food. God will not allow some of the devastation that we see today, even in parts of Africa, where locust plagues can be common. How about disease removed? Any scriptures come to mind as far as what they say or where to turn to? The eyes of the blind will be opened. That's both spiritual and physical. About the lame shall leap like the deer in Isaiah 35. There is healing that takes place there. Let's see, Isaiah 65 and verse 20. Now we might not have thought about this in terms of healing or disease, but in order for this to happen, there has to be freedom from disease and diseases that take life. Isaiah 65, verse 20, the time after the millennium, perhaps in the second resurrection, where it says, no more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years shall be accursed. Again, it's a millennial setting, the new earth. Could be the time of the second resurrection where people are given a lifetime or about 100 years to come to repentance, to overcome sin. If they don't, then they suffer the curse of the lake of fire. But everybody will be given a full lifetime. An infant won't die as a child. An old man will fulfill his days. So there has to be a certain freedom from disease. Feasts. How about the feasts? How do we know the feasts are going to be observed in the millennium? Pardon? Zechariah chapter 14. If the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be observed, it would seem to indicate that all of the other of God's feasts will be observed. People come up for the Feast of Tabernacles in Zechariah chapter 14, that all the others. How about Zechariah 8, I think, also comments on the feasts. Zechariah chapter 8. In verse 20 and 21, thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Although it doesn't specifically mention the feast, that's when people did go up to Jerusalem to seek God and to seek God's word and to be taught. Okay, how about language? That's in Zephaniah 3, verse 1. A pure language. I think it refers to a pure language. And all of God's laws being enforced. I've got a several scriptures listed for that. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 and 27, where God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them. You will keep my judgments and do them. Ezekiel 43 and verse 11, where it says, and if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangements, its exits and its entrances, its entire design and all its ordinances, all its forms and all its laws. Write it down in their sight so that they may keep its whole design and all its ordinances and perform them. So all the ordinances related to the temple, the laws. Interesting, I gave a sermon a while back about holy, being holy as God is holy. And I made the comment about how the book of Leviticus was a book that in trying to read it as a teenager, I'd only get to the book of Leviticus. I'll get any further because I get bogged down. And why so many laws? Why all these details? And do it this way in very specific descriptions. And I made the comment that the NIV Study Bible made the comment about the book of Leviticus showing that spiritual perfection is pictured by physical perfection. And God went into such detail about the temple and the sacrifice and wanted Israel to do it just this way, down to the last detail, to symbolize the spiritual perfection of God. And you find that in the book of Ezekiel as well. Find it in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Spiritual perfection symbolized by physical perfection. And so God's laws are going to be enforced. How about Micah 4 and verse 3? This is perhaps my second favorite scripture, along with the ones about healing, but Micah chapter 4 and verse 3. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. That last item on the list, war no more. Micah chapter 4, verse 3. But doesn't Isaiah 2 also? Let's look at here, see if I have that right. Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, verse 4, the same verse. Judging between nations, rebuke many people, beating swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, they shall not lift up sword against nation, nor learn war anymore. So we find that there are, again, and I have a handout that all of you can have that lists these that I've commented on, but many more additional scriptures about the millennial environment. If you're interested in looking at those and studying a little bit more about the millennial environment. I'll give those out at the conclusion of Bible study. So are there any other scriptures that you wanted to comment on or messages that you heard during the feast that were especially meaningful to you as far as really focusing on life in the millennium and what it's going to be like and the encouragement that we get from feast? Anything else? Any other scripture sermons anybody heard? Can't recall any of them? And that again was Joel 3:18. So clearly there will be mountains, and not all mountains will be leveled, and there will be an abundance of crops and wine to enjoy as well during the millennium. So any other ones come to mind? What do you? Psalm 72, verse 16, another one to add to your list. Abundance of grain on the earth, on the top of the mountains, its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. In a millennial setting that we look forward to. Anything else? Well, thank you for your comments. Again, I'll just pass these out as we conclude. Enjoy the rest of the Sabbath and the fellowship to follow, and we'll look forward to being together again next Sabbath.